return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
You know, every day I like to start out the day just in the Word. You know, I have a cup of coffee and I'm reading the Bible. I got my notepad. But the Lord's always speaking, amen, through His Word. He's just giving light. He's giving revelation. And it's just good to be in the Bible. Hallelujah. And especially as we go farther and farther down in history here, because the Bible says there'll be gross darkness on the earth. But there is a light, amen. The light is Jesus, and the light is in His people, that the body of Christ, lights for Him. And so that light is a treasure, taking the Word of God in our lives, living by that, not being deceived or whatever, like with the rest of the world, but to walk in truth. Amen. And there's great peace when you do that. There's great peace. It's just, I'm always amazed how He speaks to us. Hallelujah. If you're joining us by Facebook Live, is that on now? So it's on now? Got it there? Kind of, thanks. So some of you are from our country, so you understand Memorial Day, but other people joining us might be new to you, but just a way that we honor people in our nation who have served. But we bless you, whatever country you're in right now, we bless you. We're praying for many countries. I always like to follow world events and so forth. Where is it? Young brother from New Guinea. Where's over there, okay? You know, because here, you know, you came today. God bless you. And just this morning, I was reading again the disaster in New Guinea. So it's good to stand together. Amen. And believe God together, because all across the world, there's things that take place. And you want to be mindful. You know, don't have tunnel vision. Don't just be an American Christian. You got to understand how God is moving all over the world, and there are world needs. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we could pray together earlier. And but if you're joining us, we just bless you in Jesus' name. And we pray. Many of you know we know by face, and we pray for you. So kind of like an online congregation, and we bless your nations. Hallelujah. So today we're just talking on memorials. You know, it's kind of our weekend and so forth. We remember those, of course, that have served, those that have died, died in service. We remember loved ones. People go to the cemeteries and stuff, or maybe not there, but they just remember their loved ones. We remember those that have served in the body of Christ. I mean, something I do, Scripture in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, just says that we recognize those who labor among you and admonish you, over you in the Lord, admonish you, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sakes, be at peace amongst yourselves. So we have, because of who Jeannie and I are, we reach out to a lot of people. We connect with a lot of people in the body of Christ. But also some of those people pass away, you know, like Ray Kapp was a friend years ago, a real mentor of ours, and went, you know, spoken, went to his funeral, you know, Ernie Gruen, funeral in Kansas City and so forth, Paul Tucker, funeral up in Duluth, Minnesota, people that have served the body of Christ, and there's many, many others, of course, but recognizing their service and recognizing their labor in Jesus Christ, and it's just good to honor people. Let me just say this, good to honor people while they're alive, too. So sometimes people, for, you know, when someone passes away, then all of a sudden they have these memories. Oh, they were like the greatest person on earth. And it's like, then why didn't you treat them like the greatest person on earth? You know, people can say a lot of things at a viewing, visitation, or a funeral. But really, stop and think now, what if this person in my life wasn't here any longer? What would I say about them? Or what should I say to them right now in their life? As far as words of appreciation and so forth. That's what I'm talking about, just appreciating people. And that could come down to your spouse. Children should do that for their parents. Amen. And, you know, but honor is something that's being lost in our society because people no longer respect, they don't want to respect authority, they don't want to respect parents, they don't respect anything, anybody, you know. jobs where they just work a job for a paycheck rather than working a job because they like it and they want to be there, you know, and they care about others. So Hebrews 13, verse 7 says that, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So you remember, we're remembering, of course, this is in the body of Christ, remembering people, but just people in general. Memorials. Cemeteries are memorials. Sometimes, most of the time, people go to a cemetery because they have to be there. I personally enjoy walking through cemeteries and looking at stones and looking at dates and looking at maybe a comment that somebody made that's on that stone. It's a testimony of their life. We knew a gentleman years ago. He was from the Twin Cities, but he had a gigantic ministry in Mexico. And he established these Faith, Hope, and Love centers where tens of thousands of people came. So he committed his life to Mexico. His children were raised there. They all married people in Mexico, so forth. And anyway, when Danny Ose passed away, they thought one of the most fitting things, because a lot of the cemeteries there are Catholic. And so he was buried in Mexico City area. And so, and everything's real crowded, of course. So they took the advantage of his whole top of his grave, and they made it a gospel tract. So that people, of course, people go to those cemeteries, you know, to honor people and so forth. But sometimes, you know, they're still praying for the dead and all that. But when they pass by Brother Danny's, they read this gospel tract of Jesus' love and giving their heart to Jesus because he died for them. And I thought, oh boy, that's... So even though he's dead, yet he speaks, you know. People put up statues. You know, a lot of people... anymore, you know, a lot of young people, they walk by statues, but sometimes you look at a statue and say, well, why is it there? What do they do? What happened? And what's significant about that statue? And so statues are also kind of reminders and so forth. Today we have graduations, but I don't know how many of you still have your high school diploma. Well, sure, I'm sure it's buried someplace, but or your college diploma, but it's like a memorial. Right? It might remind you how old you are, but also it could remind you that what you did in high school, what you accomplished, or you know, in your school time, or your college degree and so forth. Those are things, those are achievements that you don't always put them on the wall, but yet when you go through them, it should be, you want it to be a positive thing, amen? To say, okay, that I was there, now I'm here, but that it was something that happened in your life. If you have a wedding ring, it's like a memorial, right? Reminds others, hey, I'm married, I'm taken. And I'm not available. And that's good to have, right? It's good to have a wedding ring. It's good to have that marriage seal is of God, right? And he instituted that. It's like a memorial to say, hey, thank you, Jesus, you know. And if you're not married or say your spouse has passed away, you still can remind yourself of God's blessing. Amen. You were married and so forth, that the blessings you had, the time that you had. Things in life, you know, it's like appreciating the moment. You don't want to look at your life and think, well, it's all over now. No, it's not all over. Those are things to remind us of God's faithfulness and what's still ahead for us. Amen. We're still moving this direction, right? Old Testament, lots of times people built an altar. The altar wasn't something to worship. The altar was a reminder of who their God was. A reminder of God's faithfulness. Remember, children of Israel came across the Jordan River, and then a couple tribes thought, well, let's build an altar here. And at first they thought, you know, Joshua, they thought, well, hey, they're not coming with us. They're going to go serve somebody else. They said, no, this is just a reminder that we were with you, we crossed the Jordan. We have some land here yet, but that's just a reminder of the faithfulness of God. It's a marker, yeah. So memorial are things established to commemorate an event or a truth. Luke chapter 22 talks about Jesus at the Last Supper. And he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave to them. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance. It's like a memorial. Lots of people, you know, I grew up doing this, but didn't know anything about it really. You know what I mean? Had to have a revelation. What are we doing? What kind of thing is this that we would have communion And what does it mean? And to this day, lots of people don't understand it. But there's meaning, right? It's a memorial. Christ died for my sins. Christ died for my sickness and disease. Christ died so that I could be set free. And if I, for whatever reason, feel bound or whatever, I realize, no, thank you, Jesus. I'm claiming what that says. This is active today. It's a memorial. It's something that we remember. Amen. If you don't remember things, then what happens is you get caught up in old stuff again. You know, we were that when the Vietnam Memorial, not the Vietnam Memorial, the Holocaust Museum was just when we were in Washington D.C. years ago, but it had just been built. It had been open just a matter of months, and so we go through the Holocaust Museum. But so we have today. We have lots of racial issues. In particular, right now, it's pinpointed on Jewish things like that, you know, anti-Semitic things. But a lot of that is because people have no context, a basis of what's happened in the world, what's happened in society, right? So they, you know, we have young people growing up that know nothing about World War II or nothing about Adolf Hitler, right? It's like it didn't exist. Incidentally, in a country we go to, Adolf Hitler's book is one of the most popular books in the nation, Mein Kampf. And they read it today, and it's in some of the schools even. They read it because they're trying to create a pure society. So you go through the Holocaust Museum, and you realize the things that happen. And, of course, it's a place that's very somber, and it's very quiet. And you're just going through there, and you realize, wow, the things that took place in our world at that time. Right? And so you realize you don't want to go back there to those things, right? So, but your memory is the ability to revive a past experience. Now, don't let the devil trick you so that your memory is always dwelling on something negative. Yeah, I remember when that happened. You know? No. You want to cultivate your mind to remember the blessings of God. And in reality, a lot of people act like they've never been blessed. That is just such a lie from the devil. Everybody's been blessed in so many ways. And it's not that we haven't ever had problems. Yeah, we've all had problems. However, you want your memory to be such that it's just cleansed. And you want to remember, again, the good things, the goodness of God. You want to recount stories of maybe a testimony. That's why it's good to sometimes journal. You had an answer to prayer, you should remember that answer to prayer. So 5 years down the road, you're not screaming again, what am I going to do? It's like, no. He took care of me then. He'll take care of me that now. So it's like you're journaling. You're remembering. You have a little memorial here of God's faithfulness. 2 Timothy just talks about the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. The Bible is inspired, of course. Because it's inspired, it's an anointed book. There's no other book like this book. Okay, there are many religious books, but there's no book like this book because it is inspired by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit. And so, you can read a lot of things, even Christianity. You can read other books, Christian books, but this is the book you want to major on, right? And you want to go through again and again and again and again. You don't want to stop reading this. Say, oh, no, I read that. No, read it again. I've read it dozens and dozens of times. So it's profitable for our lives, instruction in righteousness. So it's an anointed book. That's why school, many years ago, 20 years or so ago, a teacher had a Bible in his room, just on his desk. Never talked about it or anything, but the fact that it was just sitting there, it was like a memorial. Yeah. And it intimidated people. The school administration came and said, you got to remove that book because it's a powerful statement that you have a book there that says Holy Bible. Isn't that something? But that's where our society is at, and yet it should remind us, hey, that's why you want to be in it, amen? The Gideons give away Bibles, but a lot of places more and more are pushing them out, schools and so forth. Say, no, we don't want you here, and of course, they really think that you would really need this here, you know? But it's like a memorial, and so it's something that it's living. The Bible is living. It's a living book. It's the living Word of God. And so it blesses us every day, blesses me all the time when I'm in it. Amen. So those are powerful things. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 14. So the woman comes, Jesus is at the ruler's house. House of Simon the leper, I guess. He's sitting at the table. A woman comes with the alabaster flask. You know the story. Costly oil of spikenard. She breaks the flask, pours it on his head. And then it goes to the next verses, and it says this, Mark 14:8-9. Yeah. So she has done what she could. She has come before and to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, this woman has done will also be told as a memorial. Quite a statement, isn't it? This isn't a woman that, not like signs, wonders, and miracles, and powerful ministry, and all kinds of people. No, this is a woman by an act of sacrifice, obedience, and honor, came to Jesus to bless Jesus. The devil would lie to us to say, you know, your life is insignificant. Your life doesn't matter. You aren't doing anything significant for the Lord. And of course, that's a lie. If you're coming to worship Jesus and so forth, it's like a memorial. It's a testimony. And believe me, God sees it and he honors that. He says, thank you for praising me. Thank you for worshiping me. Thank you for acknowledging who I am. So it's like a memorial. It can sound so simple, and yet it's not that. It's profound. So this woman, she wasn't thinking, you know, hey, if I do this, man, I'm going to get written in the book. Really going to be something. I'll be historical, you know. No, Jesus just said, this will be a memorial to her. Not to lift up her, but to honor her for what she did. Things you do for Jesus are powerful. Things you do, and I'm talking about just even helping others or serving others, they're very powerful things. And you might think it's insignificant and just think it's not a big deal, but it is in God's eyes. When you serve people and help people and you do it in His name and for His glory, it's a wonderful thing. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8 is really, he gives some warnings to the body of Christ, to the Israelites, which really should apply to us today. He said, you know, you're gonna go into the land, you're going to have houses, you're going to have lands, you're going to have vineyards, you're going to have all these things. And he says this, you know, this word is beware. And of course, beware of what? Beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments. Well, think of the United States. Think of all the things the United States has. And yet, think of the words that you hear in our country right now. And most of those words, publicly, privately, are complaining. So people complain about what is or isn't happening, what isn't being done, what they don't have, and so forth. As opposed to remembering the blessings of God. Now, there's no nation on the earth ever like this nation in terms of being blessed. When you think of percentiles and so forth, the United States, our lifestyle, your lifestyle's in the upper 90% of anybody in the world. And yet most people don't think about it. Most people don't think about the simple thing of getting a clean water out of a tap thing. Oh, we just think that, oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to have bottled water. I got it right here. Beautiful. Warm showers. Food in the grocery stores. Fawzia and her family, they came to the United States from Egypt years ago, and they're part of the church. Wonderful family. Sudanese family. And so when she first got to Brookings, and she went to the grocery store, and she stood there in the grocery store like, just eyes wide open. She went early in the day because she thought, if I go early in the day, I'll have the best pick of any fruit or anything like that, not knowing there's just piles of fruit. The United States wastes more fruit, vegetables. You know, they just throw stuff away. Huge amounts of food just thrown away because maybe there's no way to get it to people, or people just don't want it, or some. You know how it is. There's a date. Oh, that's a day old. Or it's a day past expiration. We can't use that, you know. But yet you think about the blessings. Think about what we have, the land of plenty, the land of more than enough. And Fawzia was there, and she just thought, well, she could pick the best tomato. Just there was a lot of the best tomatoes and best cucumbers, whatever she wanted. And there was a concert at the park. Remember that? She's at the concert at Pioneer Park, and it was a gospel concert. And she saw something in the paper And she thought, wow. So her kids were young at that time. So she got them together and they walked from, by 17th Street. Yeah, she walked from 17th Street out to Madera, to Pioneer Park for the concert. And they got out there, and of course, the concert was going to start at 7 or something like that. And they got there, and there was like 12 people. She walked because she thought, we can't drive. There would be no place to park. There'd be too many people. There'd be thousands of people. So no place to park, so we'll walk. We'll walk there. And so they walked. So it took them a while to get there with the kids, 40 minutes or something. And there's 12 people. And she's standing there looking around, where's the people here? It's the United States. People haven't built memorials into their life to remember what God has done. We have to have memorials all the time to see, oh, thank you, Jesus, for this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you might think, well, I already thanked him last week. I thank him every day. Every day. Remember, Thanksgiving is the password that gets you into the presence of God. So many, many people in the body of Christ, there are Christians, but don't walk in the presence of God. You can walk, the glory of God is the presence of God. You can walk in the glory all the time. You can walk in the glory every day. You can have the glory in your house. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for a place to live. A bed. A bed, let's come loose here. A bed that you can get into every day and it's nice and soft. No bugs. Clean. Lots of things you can thank the Lord for all the time. But you have to build those memorials. You have to build those things that it triggers your eyes. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. So we're doing that all the time in our house, but we're trying to do that also what? Around the grandkids? See, how are young people going to appreciate things if they don't hear old people talk about that? If they don't hear old people out loud mention things? Well, they're not gonna have an appreciation. How many families get together and no one even prays? But if you get together and the young people say, No, we're not touching, don't touch any food, we haven't prayed yet. And then you pray and you honor God and you thank God. It's a big deal, right? It makes an imprint on them. Because the world is pulling on everybody, and quite frankly, we all know the world is dark. And so it's just the world. That's what the world does, right? But we as believers are light. And so we're planting these seeds of thanksgiving and praise, and we're building memorials. So that you're looking around all the time, it's Memorial Day, and say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. God is good. I mean, I look at this place, most of you wouldn't think anything of it, but I do think some of it because I saw it from the ground up, And so I'm thankful. I can walk in here anytime and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Blood, sweat, and tears. Thank you for the place to just come and gather. You don't worship memorials. You let it impact your life, though. Right? It impacts your life for the glory of God. So he says here, very important, beware that you do not forget the Lord. And how do you not forget? Well, you got to keep doing his word, right? Keep following his word and so forth. And it says, lest when you are eaten and are full and you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. Go to the next verses then. So, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold are multiplied. All that you have is multiplied and your heart is lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. This here is the United States. Because the United States has all that. They got all these things. They got all these blessings. They got all these good things. And the warning is to who? It's not to a government. It's to Christians. The warning is to Christians. See, Christians, it'd be like, what if Christians were always going walking around like, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a good day. Oh, thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for this. Now, some people think they're on some sort of substance. And the substance is the Holy Ghost, right? So they're on something good. But it would cause people to question. Remember in the Bible it says, be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. It's basically saying, though, they're asking you a question because you're giving an answer. And they're asking, why are you happy? Why do you have hope? Why are you living this way? And it's because of all these markers and all these memorials that you have. You're like, thank you, Jesus. Everything you see, you're thanking the Lord. When I see that, it's a cautionary thing. I take that seriously, like, well, okay, beware. Why? Because I'm blessed. I'm a blessed person. I'm a blessed American. I got a lot of things, right? I got all kinds of things. But you don't want the things to have you. You want to, they're just a tool to live and enjoy because you're just passing this life and there's no U-Hauls following the hearse. Not taking it with you. So beware, all right? Your herds, your flocks, your silver, your gold, all that you have. 401k, bank accounts. All that you have is multiplied. There's a lot of people from other countries. A lot of you are here studying. I understand that. That's great. But we have friends in a lot of countries that we honestly don't want them to come here. We don't want them to. You know, we had someone come one time and they came to the United States and said, this is heaven. This is heaven. They never wanted to leave. We had one friend who was here for a while from a country and he never did go back. Never went back to his wife, never went back to his two kids or whatever. This was heaven. He was staying here and this was it. He's still here. This is not heaven. This is not heaven, all right? But we've been blessed, and people set their eyes on that, and they want, and they want to get, and they want to keep it, all for the wrong reason. You want to live your life as that testimony, that you're always, by what's coming out of our mouths, we're pointing people to who the answer is, where it's come from. It didn't just happen. It just didn't happen. It happened because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's just look at the other verse. This is a good verse. Verse 18. Remember, notice this word, remember again, the Lord your God. It is He that gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Well, that's a powerful statement. God gave you and I power to get wealth. That's anybody in the world, incidentally. The Bible is a world book. It's not a white book. It's not an American book. It's a world book. It's a book for everybody who believes. If you believe in Jesus Christ, these promises are for you. So He gives you the power to get wealth. Not so you can just, you know, live this life of luxury and sit back, do nothing. No, it's to establish His covenants for the Great Commission. That's the purpose, right? We have a sign back there. Great Commission is our ambition. Prosperity with the purpose. Money with the mission. It isn't so that you can, like Jesus said, the guy is building bigger barns, tear down his barn, build bigger barns, and realizes, man, today, this is your last day on earth. What's it going to matter to you? You lived your whole life to get a bigger barn, and someone else is going to have it. I've seen people like that. I mean, they're driven by things. But folks, we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And if we're led by the Holy Spirit, and you can have things, but we're praising God and the glory and the memorial all is to Him. Gives you power to give wealth, so that He may establish His covenant. Wow. So Psalm 107, here's something here. Real key, I think. The children of Israel are greatly blessed, but you know the story, they forgot. They do well, they forget. They do well, they forget. Yeah. And you think, I mean, I would think, man, if I had a pillar of fire, I see at night and a cloud by day, I'm never forgetting, right? How are you going to forget that? But they did, you know. I mean, remarkably they did. So think of all the things that are pulling on us to get your eyes off of the blessing of God and onto yourself or onto other things. And what happens? Trouble comes. So, again and again, what happened in Psalm 107, trouble, but then they cry to the Lord. You know, God is so gracious, amen. He's so gracious. Good thing you're not God, right? Because like, hey, they made their bed, let them sleep in it. I'm not helping them. Tough luck for them. They're going to have a bad day, it's going to get worse. No, He's always gracious. They cry unto Him. And He said, okay, I'll help you. He delivers them out of their distresses. He leads them forth in the right way. That they might go to a city for a dwelling place. And then this is repeated again. Oh, that men might give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. It's like, come on now. If you just keep giving thanks for all the things here, we won't have this problem. We won't keep going backwards. Go to the next verses in Psalm 107. says they cried. Of course, they got in trouble again. Cried to the Lord in the trouble. He saved them out of the distress, brought them out of the darkness, shadow of death, broke their chains in pieces. Repeats, oh, that men might praise the Lord. Give thanks for His goodness. What is the goodness? Like memorial here. Everything you see is goodness of God, goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus, goodness of God. For His wonderful works to the children of men. Remember, Jeannie, the gal, there's a gal here years ago. She had real white skin, real fair skin. And she grew up in Platte, South Dakota, and was a nurse. And we'd become friends and so forth. And so she was in Nigeria. And so, yeah, and she was going to share this vision with me. I want to build a clinic and then a hospital in Nigeria. And I'm thinking, you know, real white girl from South Dakota nurse. I'm thinking, I never said no, but I just said, well, God bless you. Not gonna rain on the parade, but I said, God bless you. That's a good vision. Well, guess what? She did it. And she traveled and so forth. She ministered in Nigeria. She raised money. They built a clinic. They built a hospital. She married a Nigerian doctor. And so one day, he came with her to the United States. And we were in the office. And then he said to me, he said, I got a question. I said, yeah. And he says, does everybody have a car here? And I said, most do. Yeah. He said, do you have a car? No. He said, I've never had a car. Just ridden a bike all my life. I said, oh, yeah. Most people have a car. Yeah. And most people have a house. Yeah, most people have a house and so forth. He was at the Sioux Valley or Sanford Hospital now, but he's down there and he was getting trained now as an American, who he's now certified as an American surgeon and doctor and so forth. And they said, have you delivered any babies yet? And he said, I think about 2,000. And they looked at him like, what? Yeah, about 2,000 babies he delivered. And so, you know, but here they are. And what did they do? Well, he trained and now they practice in the United States. And then they send money there. And then they go there. Prosperity with a purpose. Forget not the Lord. He gave them the power to get wealth, to establish His covenant. Beautiful, beautiful testimony, beautiful story. And they had children and so forth. Like, this is beautiful. God is faithful. Amen. So you have memorials to remind yourself. You get in your car and think, oh, it's kind of an old car. Hey, it's a car. Hello. It runs. Remember that car? We had a car in Liberia. It had every red light on it you can imagine. I mean, engine lights, oil lights, alternator, the battery, every red light. And you suppose we should stop? No, it's fine. He's waving me off, the driver. I said, okay. And the gas lights. Should we stop? No, it's fine. I'd never, you know, if I had one light on, we're stopping. You know, we're going to take care of it. That had about like 8 lights. We took a picture of it. The whole dashboard lit up red lights. But he was thankful to have a car. And it did stop eventually. We got stopped. We stopped out in the jungle and so forth. And then they got some water and they dumped engine steam and water stuffed it and so forth. We sat out there and we bought some. What did we buy again? No, the fried plantains. Lady came by with fried plantains. But you know, you thank God, right? It was a car. They were blessed. They were happy. They were thankful. Got us to the meeting on time. So, you know, or we drove through that. Remember the water we drove through? And so I just thought, I don't know if we can make it. We're in this water. And the vehicle stopped, you know. And of course, I had nicer clothes on and stuff. And he just looked at me and said, you stay here. Like, don't get out because the water will come in. You know, so you got climbed out and then I'll go get somebody. And I got somebody and pulled us out of that. In the meantime, we're sitting there as the water's lapping against the vehicle. But it worked again, didn't it? But you got to thank God for what you have. Right? Like in America, we got all these things to save time, but nobody saves time. Nobody's got time. Nobody's got time. You could microwave a meal. You could do anything. Oh, nobody has the time, though. Isn't that something? Might be good to fix a meal so that everybody just sit around the table. You mean you're going to cook something? Yep. We're going to cook something. And you can sit here and wait. And then we're going to sit down. Maybe help. Set the table. You know, but memorials, appreciating what you have. Everybody can do this. People in other countries, you have blessings. You have blessings all around you. Might not be like other people, but you do have blessings, and you can thank God for that. And you can see those things and give praise all the time. Let me do a couple more. What's the next ones there? We'll do one more here. Is there another one? Psalm 107. Cried in the Lord, their trouble. Of course, troubles always comes, right? But they forgetting the Lord, you know. He saves them out of their distress. He says, we sent his word and he healed them. How many of you have been healed before? Well, I would say all of us have. It could be, yes, maybe it was with medical help or medicines. Okay, fine. But you were still healed. Thank God for healing. Amen. But he sent his word. He healed them. He delivered them from their destructions. And all the men would just praise the Lord. Would you just keep praising me? Wonderful works, the children of men. If we forget the mistakes of the past, we're probably bound to repeat them, right? So if we forget what's in the past, we're going to just keep going back to the past. So a key to remembering is to keep praising. Building an altar in your heart. Amen? Build an altar in your heart of praise to God. Now, we just have a little time left. We're finishing early, but just think of this. Psalm 90 just says your days are numbered, all right? So teach us to number our days. All right, we have today. Now, whatever's in the past, and I understand, sometimes there's things in our past that's kind of like a bad memory. Just leave that alone. Just leave it alone. But let's remember his goodness. What they're talking about here, what Jesus or what the Bible's talking about here, hey, you had all these troubles. Don't remember the trouble. Let's start praising the Lord. Let's keep praising the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let's not build a memorial to the trouble. No, let's build a memorial to who he is. He delivered me out of the trouble. We were in so many hospitals as our children were growing up, just countless. So to this day, when I go by the hospital, it could be the Brookings Hospital or whatever, but if I'm just driving, I always lift a hand and say, thank you, Jesus, bless the people that are there right now. Because most are there not, if you're having a baby, yeah, great, you're there. Fun thing. But most people are there not because they want to be there. They have to be there. So you want to bless them. Amen. You want to bless people and bless people who are trying to help others. And doing things, you know, showing appreciation. Even a lot of people might be an educator. They're probably not thanked by their students, are they? Probably not. A lot of people are leaving education because it's become such a hostile environment. But to thank people, right? Thank people who do things. It could be a police officer. It could be someone else that you know, someone serving someplace. To thank them, show appreciation. And then after they fall over because you think you can have a, oh, no, that's fine. No. A lot of people don't hear that. They don't hear a word of thanks. They don't hear any appreciation. You know, Memorial Day, we say, well, let's thank the soldiers. Let's thank those that serve. And I agree with that. But I think we're going to live a life where we're always thanking people. Where we're always showing respect to others. And being a blessing to others. Isn't that right? If you go to a cemetery, a lot of markers, you know, and we've talked about this, but a common marker from the year of birth to the year of death is the dash, and you only get one dash. So you got to make the most of your dash, right? It's not equal signs, like there's two, no, one. Turn to your neighbor and say, make the most of your life for Jesus. Say it, make the most of your life for Jesus. We've spent about a third of our life in bed sleeping. And you spend another third of your life working. So what are you going to do with the other third of your life? What are you going to do with the other third of your life in terms of your time, what you can do, the impact you can make on this world? If you're parents, you want to think about your kids. If you're kids, you should think about your parents and teachers and others that you can affect, right? But what are you going to do with that, your life? Because it's a vapor. We're here for a season. I think Jesus has come back real soon, but I thought that a long time ago, too. So, in the meantime, make the most of your life, right? It's just a vapor because we're here and then we will be there. And so while we're here, though, is when we can make an impact on society. Once I'm in heaven, it's over, you know, that way. You're off to your home in glory. But now is when you can make an impact on society. You can make an impact on your world. Amen. Ephesians, let's just close with this. Ephesians 5 just talks about making the most of your time. So and we have to shake ourselves, as it says, a sleeper. You've got to shake yourself to realize what's going on today here. And then what's my part in this, in blessing this world? I'm talking about being light in this world. And so rise from the dead. Christ shall make shall shine upon you and give you light. Look carefully how you walk. Live purposefully, worthily, accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. The days are short. He's coming back, right? Mm-hmm. So we're making the most of this time. Make the most of your life. If you've got family in other places, be texting them all the time. Mm-hmm. Like we have a Mother's Day, Father's Day. That doesn't mean that it's just those days you have to show appreciation. How about Tuesday? How about whenever you think about it? Showing respect to others. You see somebody, you might see a graduation, you might see a teacher. Say, hey, thank you. Thank you. My dad was a teacher for 37 years. And there were times in those days where kids did come back and thanked teachers, you know, that went off to college or doing things and so forth. But to show appreciation. Isn't that right? Amen. Talk to your kids. What are you going to say there?
I was thinking about, well, you were going like texting, and I'll do that in a second, and I don't want to take long here because of today, but anyway, Gabriel, your sister, Ruth, she sent me an email on Mother's Day, and it meant so much to me. She sent it to me as a pastor, and I said, Ruth, I'm literally going to type this out and frame it. So it's, you just never know when, I don't know, just the words in it just lifted me up so much. And so she was showing appreciation. Yeah. Yeah. And so I had the thought here too as thank you for this message. And I happen to live with this man, this pastor who every day, he's walking in the room saying thank you for the carpet or the view or the water or the coffee or my meal if I cook. But so he's living it, and it really rubs off. I want to be better. I just tell you, I want to be better. I want to be more thankful. But I had this idea too. Most of us do have a phone. Could we take a minute and send someone a text? And someone, go ahead.
Yeah, you'll have somebody that you, got this on, Steve? Leave this on, too. Yeah, leave them both on. So you got some family members. Start there. Just start. And some of you are fast texting. For me, I'm typing out all the words and stuff. Well, some of you go real fast. Just send a text to somebody. A family member, could be a parent, could be a child. Just showing words of appreciation.
Yeah.
You know, we have to always understand, keep both mics on. This
Hello.
One too, yeah.
Thank you.
So we always have to understand, kids aren't perfect, you know, right? Grace is grace. You're not perfect.
Mm.
So rather than being in the mode of correction, let's be in the mode of blessing. Let's speak a blessing on people. Let's
That's
speak
so
something
good.
That can bring life to
yeah.
people, right? And something that can be helpful. So hey, yeah, do that quick. Send
yeah,
a text to them.
You appreciate them.
Could be a parent, could be a child, could be somebody else. Send a text maybe to somebody you're friends with.
Mm.
Let the Holy Spirit
God
lead you.
We don't have to change people.
No, the Holy Spirit does
The Holy
that.
Spirit.
Yeah.
Because trying that is exhausting.
It's exhausting,
We don't change people, but we can love people.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, yeah, Peggy, yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe 10 years ago, I got this poem.
And you still got it here.
Well, I just happened to have it in my purse.
Yeah.
I came across it not that long ago.
Yeah.
But it's about Psalm 107.
Ah, okay.
So I thought, well, I'm going to share this.
Yes, yes.
I was reading the psalm, and it was like, Are you kidding me? I mean, you go through the whole thing and you think, oh, my word. And it sounds like myself sometimes. But anyway, it goes like this. Do not fear and do not doubt, but arise on up and shout. For whatever mess we've gotten in, the Lord will get us out. Not because we're perfect, not because we're strong, but because our God is merciful and has loved us all along.
Yeah.
The Lord is full of mercy. We don't get what we deserve. Mm-hmm. So thank him in all things today and cling unto his word.
Yeah.
In our life there will be trouble. Jesus said it would be so. But then he said, be of good cheer. Let your joy overflow.
Yeah.
So don't let anxiousness reside. Don't carry the weight of stress.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is our everything. And he says, I've got this.
Amen. I like it. Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you.
Lord, we just thank you for this day. We celebrate your goodness, your love. We celebrate you, Jesus. We choose to remember the myriads of things you've done in our lives. Help us, Holy Spirit, today, but this whole week, help us to develop habits of thanksgiving, habits of giving praise, seeing things in our lives like memorials. Thank you, Lord. Help us to live this life of victory that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we bless you today. Jesus goes with you. He's with you. Amen. The Prince of Peace, his graduations, your parties and so forth like that. Lena, I don't know if you put anything in the bulletin board or not, too, but if for a party or anything. But anyway, there's things happening. So, but anyway, have a great day. Amen. Bless one another. Say hi to 5-10 people. Just bless them. Shake their hands. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.